We conclude our Rosary Congress this evening on an extremely fitting feast day, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. This feast in prior times was known as the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. And that victory commemorated a very decisive event in history. In 1571, the Christian fleet defeated Muslim invaders at the Battle of Lepanto and drove them back from invading Central Europe. And the Pope at the time, Pope Pius V, had asked all of the Christian people to pray through the intercession of Mary, through praying the Rosary, for victory at this battle. And they did turn the invaders away, and this day was celebrated thenceforth as the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. Its name has been changed now to Our Lady of the Rosary to highlight how that victory was won through intense praying of the Rosary. So as we come to this conclusion of our Rosary Congress this year, we celebrate this great feast day, and we also celebrate the gift of the Rosary. Just like to take a moment now to thank all who have participated in the Rosary Congress, who have come through prayer and these special events in order to keep the Eucharist exposed during this time. As I put the Eucharist back in the tabernacle in the chapel, it occurred to me that the Lord had been exposed on the altar since Sunday at 12 o'clock. And here it is, Thursday at almost 7 o'clock, a continual time of prayer before the Lord. Hopefully, and I know that many graces were certainly received during that time, in private prayer, on praying the Rosary, and also in the offering of the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So I thank all who have made that possible during this week. I think in my own life of the presence of the Rosary, the first Rosary I remember was the one I received for my first Holy Communion. Perhaps you still have yours like I do. I also remember receiving the Rosary as a gift from my grandmother, and the first thing I did was I put it over my head as a necklace. And she said, no, you don't do that with the Rosary. Okay. But the Rosary is something that is very familiar to us as a method of prayer, and the Rosary can be something that really facilitates our connection with God, facilitates spiritual experience. We call it a sacramental, not a sacrament, a sacramental, because its job is to facilitate the giving of grace. I remember that first Holy Communion Rosary, but I also remember very distinctly a time in my life about 16 or 17 years ago now, where I had a very serious operation in order to straighten my bite. The surgeon had to break my upper jaw and reconstruct it so it would close correctly. And I remember after that operation being rolled into my room and being extremely uncomfortable from all that had happened there and just being very agitated and uncomfortable and in a little bit of pain. And the television was on and somehow I started flipping through the channels. And I wound up on EWTN, and I stopped flipping the channels because I heard the nuns praying the Rosary. And if you've ever watched them on EWTN pray the Rosary, they have sort of that melodic way in which they say the prayers. And in that particular moment, I found so much comfort in the hearing of those prayers, in the calling on the name of Mary. So much comfort in that repetition. It was a moment I will never forget. 16 years ago, it's still very clear to me. When Our Lady was so very clearly present in that moment as her rosary was being recited. So much so that eventually I was able to kind of calm down through that prayer and drift off to sleep. I hope perhaps you've had your own experience of the importance of the Rosary in your own life, or an important experience where you really felt the presence of God with you in prayer. Pope John Paul II towards the end of his pontificate in 2002, issued an apostolic letter on the rosary, Rosarium Virginis Mariae. And that letter is a beautiful teaching about the rosary. It's a testimony to his own love for the rosary and the part that it played in his own spiritual life. And in that letter, in the introduction, he says the following. He says, "With the rosary, the Christian people sits at the school of Mary and is led to contemplate the beauty on the face of Christ and to experience the depths of his love. Through the rosary, the faithful receive abundant grace, as though from the very hands of the Mother of the Redeemer." Tonight, I would like us, for just a little while, to sit at the school of Mary. There's so much for us, for her to teach us, so much to learn in that school. And I'd just like to pick out three points that I hope that we can take from Mary's school tonight. What she wants to teach us this evening. The first thing I think she wants to teach us is that the rosary can help us to gaze on the face of her Son. Mary's gaze was always focused on Jesus, always focused on her Son. In the gospel tonight, we heard the beautiful account of the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And it was at that moment that her face was first turned to her Son. When she said, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word." At that moment, her face was turned to her Son, and it would never be turned away. She looked at him in anticipation of what God was going to do through her. And it was a look of anticipation until that moment when she finally held Jesus as a baby in her arms in Bethlehem. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. When she finally looked with her own eyes on this gift that God had given to her. She gazed on her Son in a questioning way when she found him in the temple. "Why have you done this to us?" Then she is looking at him with a penetrating gaze at Cana when she anticipates his first miracle. "Do whatever he tells you." She knows from looking at her Son, she knows that he will intercede in this moment. And then her look of sorrow as she stood at the foot of the cross, offering herself as a sacrifice along with her Son. So united were they together, she always gazing at him, that she gladly offered herself for us as well. Then certainly she gazes on him in the joy of the resurrection. The Gospels accounts don't say it, but it's sort of a kind of a pious tradition that the first person Jesus appeared to after the resurrection was his mother. Because interestingly, she's absent from all of the accounts of his resurrection, except at the Acts of the Apostles at Pentecost. She's not mentioned. Well, the little tradition has arisen that she didn't need to be there. She had already seen him. That her gaze was turned to him in such great faith that she knew his death was not the end. And that he first came to her to announce to her the joy of the resurrection. And finally, on that day of Pentecost, her face was on him, filled with the Holy Spirit, as the church began. Mary always had her gaze on Jesus. And she teaches us that lesson in her school, to keep our eyes on him at all times. When we look at Jesus as we are reciting the Hail Mary, we call to mind all of Mary's memories of him. We call to mind the entire gospel. As we gaze with Mary on Jesus in the rosary, she is teaching us the life of her Son. Pope John Paul said that the memories of Jesus impressed upon her heart were always with her, leading her to reflect on the various moments of her life at her son's side. In a way, those memories were to be the rosary which she recited uninterruptedly throughout her earthly life. And she continues to recite that rosary now in heaven. Gazing on her son for all eternity, she invites us into those memories, the memories she has in which she wants the pilgrim church to be steeped. So this gazing that we are undertaking on Jesus, though, invites us to move further in our faith. It invites us to move from that gazing as we keep our eyes on Jesus, to move to love, to move to love, to move deeper in our relationship with him. You think about, we could gaze on the life of anyone, right? So reading a biography is gazing on the life of someone. Am I going to read a biography of Alexander Hamilton and then deepen my love for him? Probably not. He's a great guy, but he doesn't need my love. But when we gaze on Jesus, when we look at his life as recounted in the gospel, the point there is that we can deepen our love for him, to move our hearts to love him more, to take our faith from our head to our heart. And I think that the repetition of the rosary helps us to do this. Ironically enough, that's the part that so many people find difficult about the rosary, that the repetition can make their mind actually wander. But when we repeat something over and over again, we repeat things that are important to us, so much so that they become a part of who we are. How often when our repetition of our daily habits is interrupted, we sort of feel all out of sorts. We don't know what to do with ourselves. Well, in the repetition of those Hail Marys, we're meant then to attach ourselves further to Jesus, to make him so much a part of us, hopefully that all of those other things sort of fade away and that he becomes front and center so that our hearts can open up more to him. Think about Peter and Jesus on the shore after the resurrection. Probably familiar with that story. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" He repeats it over and over and over again. So much to the point where almost Peter is exasperated. So why are you keep asking me this? Well, it's because through that repetition, we're invited to go deeper into the meaning. Certainly, Peter could have said, "Yes, I love you, Lord." But by having to do it 3 times, he reverses his own disobedience, but then he's invited deeper into love with the Lord. And so as we repeat those Hail Marys, as we enter into the repetition of them, God opens up a space in which our hearts can grow. And finally, once our hearts have grown to love Jesus more, the final step then is to conform our lives more to him. In baptism, we become new creation, new creatures in Christ, but yet we're waiting to be formed. Like the potter with the clay, when it's a big lump of clay on that wheel, it's nothing. It needs forming to come up and take shape so that then something else can be put in it. So yes, at baptism, we receive all the graces that God needs to give us for salvation, but yet we're still waiting to be formed so that God can pour more grace into us. We become a new creation in Christ in baptism, but yet we're constantly becoming a greater creation in Christ as we grow in grace throughout our lives. So we first love Jesus, and then we seek to conform our lives more to him. St. Louis de Montfort, the great Marian preacher and advocate of the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, says that since Mary is of all creatures the one most conformed to Jesus, it follows that all devotions that all devotions which most consecrate and conform a soul to the Lord is devotion to Mary. And that the more a soul is consecrated to her, the more will it become consecrated to Jesus Christ. And the greatest of all Marian devotions is, of course, the rosary. So through it, we seek then to conform our lives more closely to Christ. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said, "Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus." By meditating on the mysteries of the rosary, on reciting the Hail Mary, we too want to have the mind of Christ. So, my friends, the school of Mary at which we sit this evening can teach us so many more things than what we've talked about tonight. I would encourage you to stay always at that school, to sit always at the school of Mary, because she continually teaches us. She continually teaches us more about her Son, how to gaze on him, how to love him, and then how to conform our lives after him. Conclude tonight with a very beautiful prayer to Mary from Cardinal Newman, one that I recite many times myself. Holy Mother, your very face and form speak to us of the eternal, not like earthly beauty, dangerous to look upon, but like the morning star, which is your emblem, bright and musical, breathing purity, telling of heaven and infusing peace. Harbinger of day, hope of the pilgrim, lead us still as you have ever led us. In this dark night, across the bleak wilderness, guide us on to our Lord Jesus. Guide us home. Amen.